over, but I can't stay to work late. Gotta leave and get ready for my second date with a pretty girl that I met at the pharmacy. Right in the prescription line, I take a pill for my social anxiety. I get a table and a nice bottle of Chablis. Now it's getting late and there's still no sign of her. I have another glass of wine. All I know is the wine lasts longer when you don't gotta share it with someone. All I know is the steak tastes better when I take my steak tastes better pill. And I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think of how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now. Right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to the One Monkey Media Podcast. I am Chris Parker, the monkey, and with me is...
Hey, it's Allie.
Hey, Allie. So, okay, here's the thing. I get this. I know we're only supposed to be doing this once a week, but I get this emergency IM from Allie here, and she says, we need to talk right now. So I said,
and that's never good.
No, well, I thought she was going to, you know, insult me or something like that, or tell me that she's had a change of heart.
Yeah,
or
something that I usually do on a day-to-day basis.
Or, you know, the world is collapsing. I had this feeling that, you know, there's been another tsunami somewhere or something. But as it turns out, that's not what it is. This is our emergency podcast because there's an issue with Rebecca Black. What's going on, Allie?
I'm very angry right now.
At me?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I'm at, like, the general population.
Okay, what happened?
I've decided that, you know, I'm going to be nice and start looking at the links you send me. So I did, you know, I have really nothing to do tonight. It's kind of windy and nasty out. So I decided I'm going to sit down and watch this Rebecca Black Friday bullshit.
You should not have done that.
I'm aware I should not have done that, but in the land of all that is good and, you know, wanting to be able to discuss things with certain people, you know, be smart, whatever the case may be, I think I just lost about 45 brain cells.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, this desire to be able to discuss what other people are discussing. It's like that water cooler mentality.
Exactly. Yes.
Except I sent it to you with the caveat. I said right on there, this is the worst song ever recorded.
Right.
Ever.
Right. And I understand that. However, you know, usually if it's the worst song ever recorded, there's probably one out there that can beat it, you know, and that's what I anticipated, you know, but I was wrong. I was very, very wrong, and I'm very, very irritated about this because I just got a lecture on my goddamn calendar, and, you know, we got to get down on Fridays or something. Now, first of all, if you're, like, 10, you get down on Fridays, personally. I don't know anybody who actually gets down on Fridays. I don't even know anybody who uses that term anymore.
Get down and boogie. It's like 70s culture.
Right, and I get that, but we're not, it's 2011, it's not 1974.
Right, well, I imagine the person who wrote this damn thing probably is from 1974, at least mentally speaking. Did you hear that the family of this girl, Rebecca Black, they paid some studio $2,000 to write and record this thing?
Yes, so, and that's ridiculous. Oh, man.
Like, I could cut her some slack if she wrote it, because she's, like, 10, 11, 12, whatever, right? Like, she's just some kid.
Right.
So you can cut her slack for writing, you know, I get up, get a bowl, get some cereal. They don't even rhyme.
Right,
bowl
exactly.
Bowl doesn't rhyme with cereal, but she had to say it in such a way to make it rhyme?
Right. And it's not, I mean, my God, there was a rapper in it. A freaking rapper.
Right, and she goes on and on and on. There's a lyric in there somewhere that says, you know, Friday, tomorrow, Saturday, then comes Sunday.
Right.
Oh, shit.
As if I didn't know that.
Okay, let me check. Yeah, no, calendar says Sunday comes after Saturday, which is the day after Friday. Of course, after Sunday, you've got Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, then Thursday. Then guess what? Back to Friday.
Now,
yeah.
I suppose this would not be so annoying if, you know, driving home last night, I heard, like, the whole Friday part. So, And then I'm like, okay, so then everyone today is making this big deal about this chick. And I'm like, who is this person? Like, I figured I would have heard, you know, maybe she's got some new, like, catchy song or whatever. That's the best we're coming up with nowadays is that? That's so pathetic.
Well, and I was freaked out, too, because over the last couple of days, I've noticed on Twitter, it's like the hot, her name is one of the hot trending topics. So I was like, well, I actually Googled her the other day, like Sunday, I think I Googled her. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just saw her page, and it looks like a normal artist page that's just whatever. And I'm looking at it going, okay, so she's just some chick who's got a album out, whatever, I don't care about this, moving on, right? I didn't bother to look at any of the songs or pay any attention to it. And then today I was listening to Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, one of their podcasts out of the Smodcast Network, and they just started ripping into her, and I'm like, okay, what are they saying? Because they started off by saying it sounds like it was written by and sung by a retarded girl. And I'm like, no, you can't, no. And then they started playing bits of it.
Did you lose brain cells?
I did. I freaked out, too, because here's how pissed I am, okay? I don't consider myself an egregiously talented dude, right? Like, I'm not, I like to think I can write, and some people like what I write, and that's cool. Here's this girl who paid some jerk off $2,000 to write her a song. It's the most horrible song in the world, and she's got to be making millions off it. It is last time I checked, it was like number 25 on the iTunes download list.
Right.
Okay. I have Def Leppard songs. Okay. Now I stole those. I'm not going to pay for Def Leppard. That's how bad. Like, okay, I'm going to open my iTunes back up here and have a little peek at some of the bad that I have, just to give people an idea of how bad this song is. You know what annoys me is that somebody shot John Lennon, right? Somebody shot John Lennon. He's dead. We don't have him, but we have this girl.
Right. I mean, is that all we're... I mean, this is what we aspire to be now, is this?
Right, and at this point, okay, I have Aerosmith songs, including all of the crazy, jaded, crying, dying angel. I believe they all sound the same. I just died in your arms tonight. Okay, that's how... I was willing to steal Cutting Crew. I was not willing to pay for Cutting Crew. But I was willing to steal them.
But, I mean, the point is you have them.
Right. Yeah, and I was willing to get them. But I think that's the big thing here is that there's a difference between the stuff that I'm willing to buy, like Nirvana. I will buy them. And I will buy Our Lady Peace and some other bands, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Rage Against the Machine, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell I'm going alphabetically through my list here.
A little bit.
Yeah. I'm even willing to buy Weird Al because I think his stuff is hilarious.
But well, some of it is hilarious.
Yeah. I'm not willing to purchase, Steve Winwood. Not willing to do that.
Right.
And so I'm willing to steal them because I like music and I'll listen to a lot of music. I am certainly not willing to steal Rebecca Black's crap.
And she doesn't even have like a catchy, you know, like name. It's Rebecca Black Friday. Yahoo.
I would think that if they were going to manufacture something, they would have manufactured a name that, you know, had cut a little bit deeper.
Right.
You know, I don't know if Britney Spears' name is actually Britney Spears' name, but if you hear that name, like Britney Spears, it sounds like and certainly she was a formulated star.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, you know, that ranks, I mean, I don't know, that goes back to talking about our baseball conversation.
Yes, the various names of...
Exactly.
Baseball,
like, you know, you can't come up with something. I mean, we've got
a whole bunch of songs out there. My God, this Rebecca Black Friday song ranks right up there with that pink t-shirt, or that, what is that, white tee? That came out years ago. I'm walking down the street in my white tee.
Oh, God.
Remember that?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, it's kind of up there with the I'm Too Sexy.
Yep.
And it's going to be that annoying, too. And Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yep.
It's going to be that annoying. This song is going to actually get that annoying to the point where it's going to be played in arenas. It's going to be played everywhere. Because
on like a Friday night. That whole line, Friday, got to get down on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's just slightly catchy. It's catchy enough for people to really get into it and have this idea that the song actually has some kind of merit, even though it has no redeeming. You know, you could talk about the catchy songs of the Beatles and their beginning, the She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. But at least they had sort of a mass appeal to the lyrical style that they had. And while it was, you know, catchy schlock, this is just, like, I don't even understand what she's saying, you know? And
right. And, I mean, if you watch the music video, it's she's in her house. She's driving what looks to be like a Sebring convertible. Now, I mean, and you're going to go party up in the mountains on a Friday night? That's exciting.
Well, and
you're
and
like 10.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. So, I mean, party for her, that means some Doritos.
Right. And, so some Doritos and some Coke.
Well, and that's where I see this going too. This is going to be some kind of corporate scam where all of a sudden there's going to be a video out there. She's going to do a video Friday, got to get down on Friday. She'll be holding a Coke in one hand, bag of Doritos in the other. There'll be a Pizza Hut box in front of her.
Yep.
And she'll be, you know, ordering Domino's, whatever. And all of her friends will be gathering around to watch Glee.
Right. Exactly.
I don't know what day Glee is on, but...
None of them are actually young enough to be driving a car, because the kid that was driving looked to be about 14. So, I mean, that's just all kinds of wrong.
Yeah. The song sort of hinges on this big decision at the beginning. If you look at the story of the song, it hinges on this huge decision of, should I sit in the front or the back? I don't know.
Right.
If I sit in the back, I can't give the driver a hand job. But if I sit in the front, then I'm going to be sitting on somebody's lap because, oh, I don't know, there's already somebody sitting there.
Right.
You can't. She obviously doesn't understand shotgun rules.
Nope.
You know, you can't peel shotgun off of somebody when they're already there.
Right.
And that appears to be what she's trying to do, is take over somebody's shotgun position, and that is not right. That'll get you.
Oh,
get
yeah.
You killed in some neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying?
You don't play with shotgun rolls. So no. Here I'm looking at this, and the intro to this music video just says, I mean, it's like a book. You're just like flipping pages, and it's Arc Music Factory that created this monstrosity. I mean, this is not okay. Like. And, oh, look, she just wakes up with makeup on and everything, like...
Well, that's because there was no room in the song for her to be getting ready for her big Friday, right?
Like, now mind you, she's standing at the bus stop right now. Oh, yep, there's the Sebring.
Okay, yeah, so she's standing at the bus stop waiting for her...
her Sebring convertible to come pick her up.
Right, so she's chilling. She's like, okay, it's Friday, I'm hanging out. What am I going to do? I got to go to school.
Now... Also, I have never seen kids jam this loosely, like this nicely in a car before. You know, if you're jamming in a car, I mean, you are really like rocking out in your car, right? These people are just kind of like, you know, bobbing their heads, waving their hands. I mean, all like fine and dandy. Nobody does that. Unless you're my mother, who is 57 years old.
I'm on the Arc Music Factory website.
Oh, God, this is going to be good.
Oh, it's horrible. There's pastels everywhere.
Okay, here we go. I'm almost there.
And...
Oh.
And look at the artist that they're promoting right now. It is, like, younger than this Rebecca Black person.
Alana Lee Butterflies official music video. The next viral star.
And that's what I think the whole plan was here, was that they're just looking to create, this is YouTube fame. They're just looking to create, you know, viral videos on the net and make money off of just doing these sort of viral things. It's like, I could go out right now, have somebody throw something at my groin, roll on the floor for about 10 minutes, charge people, you know, $2 a gander.
Right.
And put it up on the net and make money off of that. Become famous for getting hit in the groin, which is essentially all that song is. It's like being kicked repeatedly in the groin for 3.5 minutes. So okay, our community is for everyone, kids, teens, and adults.
You know what this website reminds me a lot of? Like a, like that, what was that show on VH1 that had all the bubbles that popped up and told you little things about the music video?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like pop-up video. That's it. That's what this website reminds me of.
Yeah, and it's like, got all these, the weird colors.
Yeah,
and the
real
80s.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well, I would even say 70s. Like, it's just got you hit the nail on the head before of people stuck in the 70s trying to make a buck off of, you know, the 2000s and YouTube fame. But, I mean, I'm looking at this website and, you know, they created this, you know, this Rebecca Black person. They don't have anything on their site about her.
Right, so you're not backing her up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we've got Rebecca Black.
Oh, there we go. Andy, yeah.
Click Victor, here. Alana Lee. CJ.
Oh, my God.
DJ Fam. Oh, my God. Madison.
You can get
Gray.
The ringtone. There's a ringtone.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, and the rapper is called Pato. P-A-T-O.
Well, that's got a lot of street cred to it.
Of course. These Case all was... look like, you know, barely legal porn stars.
Yeah, and I think that's eventually what they're going to become.
Oh, probably.
Because they're going to get I feel sort of bad for Rebecca Black. Like, I don't feel bad for all the people that are manufacturing this fame for her, but I kind of feel bad for Rebecca Black because I'm seeing her in 10, 15 years. You know, she's going to go through this phase. I don't know how old she is now, so we'll just say 10 years.
She's 13 years old.
She's 13. Okay, yes. So in 7 years, she's going to be on. She's going to be doing porn because 5 years from now, nobody's going to care, give a crap about her Friday song, and she's not going to be able to follow it up with anything because at this point, she's a joke. Like she's listed as the worst artist of all time at this point on everybody's list.
She's the equivalent to that William Hung guy on American Idol.
Yeah, exactly. And so she's going to get this quick fame now. She's going to get a taste of it like the Bieber, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Biebs. Now at least, and don't get me wrong, I don't actually know any Bieber songs, but I'm assuming he has some talent because I feel like he's getting a lot of play from people who are a bit more discerning about what they listen to. I'm not into it. It's not my type of music, but I assume he has some singing talent because he's gotten this far. And as much as it annoys me that he's got an autobiography out already and all of that crap, at least he has some talent, which is going to carry him through. It appears that this girl has no talent, so the only thing she's got right now is this crappy song and this sort of bullshit fame that she's built up.
Right.
And it's going to go away for her, and when it does, she's going to be left flat. I imagine her parents are going to be getting all of their, taking all of her money and wasting it on junk. And so what's going to end up happening is she is going to find herself at 20 years old with no money and wanting a little piece of that fame back. She's going to end up doing porn. And then after about 2 years of porn, after the, hey, it's the Friday girl, watch the Friday girl take it from a horse, you know.
Either she'll be doing porn or she will do like, what's her face, the frizzy haired girl in Saved by the Bell. How she did that Showgirls or whatever, and major, major screw up.
Right, just booby flicks.
Yeah, like everyone dissed it. Everybody into that. I was like, great.
Well, it was, yeah, it was a horrible movie, yeah. And she showed her boobs in it. At that point, you've lost your career, right?
Right.
Like you can do a lot of things and, you know, try and break off these typecast roles, and you'll see a lot of actors and actresses do softcore porn or yep. you know, some kind of nudity in order to get past, you know, I'm Harry Potter. He did it already, right? Before even Harry Potter was done, he was on stage showing his wiener.
Right.
And so people were forced to see him as an actual actor rather than just as a, you know, as Harry Potter.
Right.
And you see it in most of the females. There was actually a fantastic, I shouldn't say fantastic, in the sense that it was good for women. There was that Poison Ivy series that basically took every child star from the 80s and early 90s.
Ah, yes, Poison Ivy, I remember.
Yeah, and showed their boobs.
Right.
And transitioned them from child star to adult actor. Not like adult porn adult, but just, hey, I'm an adult now. Here are my boobs.
Right.
You know, Alyssa Milano did it. A few other, you know, names that later went on to do a little bit more hardcore
mm-hmm.
Stuff, like, you know, a lot of Playboy posing and stuff like that. Gina Lee Nolan, I think, did it, or, you know, one of those Baywatchy,
right,
bleach blonde, large boobed women. I, you know, from the early 90s. I don't remember who, but so I mean, as I understand it, they were horrible movies. I haven't actually seen any of them because the only part that I'd be interested in are the boobs.
Right.
So
I found an article on CNN.
Okay, so it's somewhat reliable.
Somewhat
mildly reliable.
And it says here, blah blah blah. At times, it feels like I'm being cyber bullied. When I first saw all the nasty comments, I did cry. I don't think I'm the worst singer, but I don't think I'm the best.
Right.
Yada, yada, yada. I mean, it's like, oh, here's a good one. The other song was about adult love. I haven't experienced it yet. Friday is about hanging out with my friends, having fun. I felt like it was my personality in that song. Now, first of all, if you didn't want to be shocked by all these hurtful comments and you feel like you're being cyber bullied, you should actually step out of the picture and look at what it is you're trying to market.
Right,
you are
that's
marketing
the thing.
To a world who takes great pride and joy in people's pain and suffering and sorrow and stuff like that. We don't like the happy-go-lucky songs or stuff like that. Like for example, when a couple months ago or a year ago or whenever, when you and I watched the Chilean rescue.
Right.
You know, that was great. That was fantastic. It was yeah. broadcasting live on CNN. That was, you know, the day the good guys won.
Right. I wrote a long blog about
exactly.
that, actually.
But then, you know, the right again the next day, it was, you know, oh, it could have been, you know, Lilo's going to prison or something about Britney Spears or one of the other skanks in Hollywood whoring it out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you just don't care. So if she's honestly trying to come back and sit here and say that, you know, she thought it was a great song, you're full of shit because they marketed you to fail. They set you up for this.
Absolutely.
And if you honestly thought otherwise, you have a problem.
And it was a choice, okay? At this point, it was a choice for her. I feel bad for, like, that. Do you remember the lightsaber dude on the internet, on YouTube? The kid that was, you know, fooling around and just throwing around a lightsaber and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they made fun of that guy unmerciful, you know.
Right.
And I felt bad for him because he wasn't really putting himself out there for to be judged and to have people decide whether or not his thing had value. He was just doing this thing, and she is actually putting a song out there for purchase by us.
Right.
And we're supposed to make a decision on whether this is good or bad. She's going to get reviewed.
Right.
Right. When she chose, when her and her family chose to spend the money to have this thing produced, to go out and do the whole thing, it was a conscious decision on their part to put themselves out there.
Right.
And when you do that, you have to expect the bad. And sometimes it's going to be ridiculously bad. You know, we talked about that when we first talked about doing the podcast.
Right.
You know, there's going to be, for every person who comes up to you and says, hey, your thing is good on the internet, there are going to be 50 douchebags coming up saying, you're the most horriblest horrible that ever horribled.
Exactly. And that's just it, though. Like, I mean, you're saying you're being cyberbullied, like, we're going to stop. Like, people are going to stop criticizing you because, oh, well, you know what? Rebecca thinks she's being cyberbullied. Well, you know what? We better stop that. It's not going to happen. Like, and the more songs you put out, you know what to expect now. The more songs people you put out, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah, and the thing that people have to understand is the internet has become this place where people can act like douches and say mean, horrible things.
Yep.
Because of the anonymity, because of the fact that it's not face-to-face communication, right?
Yep.
I can say all sorts of bad things about somebody because I'm not looking at them in the face.
Yep.
And so it becomes very easy for me to become very base and animalistic and to, you know, to put it out there and be sarcastic and evil and mean. You have to understand, whenever you're going to do anything internet related, that's what's going to come back your way. I'm not condoning it and I don't like it. And I try not to do it myself.
Right.
But, you know, emphasis on try. I don't always succeed. But
I never succeed. So you're one step ahead of me.
Yeah, but you are the way you are on the internet, in person, and you know, it's an acquired taste a little bit, and it can be difficult to put yourself out there to you because you have a propensity for saying what's on your mind. You do that, though, in real life, and you're very straightforward about it. You get away with it because you have sincerity about you and because you never seek to hurt somebody with it.
Right.
Unless they do something that really deserves that animosity.
Yep.
So, I mean, I kind of give you a pass on it, but you, like I said, you do it, you know, you do it in.
Yeah, I'm not about to sugarcoat it. If you suck, you suck.
Right. And I just think that this girl didn't really realize that this stuff was going to happen. I don't know. No one along the line said to her, this is not a good song. And I think that's the mistake that people made in this case.
Right. I mean, I also don't think people said, do you realize what's going to happen to you?
Right. Nobody stopped to think about the fact that this is not a good idea. And so it seems to me like they put this out there like Charlie Sheen puts his crap out there, right? Charlie Sheen is not half as crazy. Like, don't get me wrong. Charlie Sheen's a cokehead and pretty crazy. But he's not quite as crazy as people think he is. He's at the point in his life where he's going, I can make bank off of just saying the crap that's in my head. I'm just going to say the crap that's in my head and go with it. And he's an adult. He's ignoring all the bad that's coming back his way.
And right. Like, I mean, if you market something because you know it's stupid and you know that people are going to buy into it, then you know what? More power to you because you can recognize that's what people are looking for. But if you're this innocent little 13-year-old who's going to sit here and cry over cyberbullying, oh my God, honey, you've got something else coming towards you. Because you know what's going to happen in a couple of years when you graduate high school? You're not going to go to college because you think, oh, well, I'm famous. Someone's going to want me, and then that's how you're going to stumble into porn.
She brings up cyberbullying, and as a person who's worked in the school system, specifically dealing with breakdowns in community where kids are bullying each other, whether it's physical or just emotional, I and specifically working with kids her age, I understand what she's saying, But one of the things that you have to tell the kids is, okay, here's the thing. You need to stop doing what you're doing because you're making yourself a target.
Right.
Okay. Yes, they need to stop bullying you. This is true. And believe me, they're going to. But you also have to stop, you know, if you're coming to school and not bathing and not wearing clean clothes, you need to start wearing clean clothes, you know, change your clothes every day, or, you know, forgetting whether or not this is a factor with home problems. But, you know, you need to wear clean clothes. You need to bathe.
Right. Okay.
If you do that, they're going to stop doing, they're going to stop calling you Stinky Pants McGee.
Right. Right? Exactly.
And it's the same situation here. She chose specifically to put that song out there. She has to deal with the consequences. It's unfortunate that she has to deal with them as an adult at age 13, but that's the choice that her parents made. And it's the parents in this situation who are the real bullies, because they didn't think about the consequences to the decision.
Right.
And nowhere along the line did any adult step in and go, yeah, this song blows ass, and your daughter is going to get crucified when we release this. And yes, it'll become famous. Yes, she'll get a bazillion downloads. Yes, you're going to make money, but also people are going to make fun of this girl.
Right.
And she, there is no way she can do interviews.
Interviews, I mean, she was on, what is it, like the live show, that AM show they have in the morning that they broadcast from New York. I don't know what it's called, the Daily Show on NBC or something like that, the morning,
right,
or whatever. She was, I mean, you can do interviews like that with people like, you know, Barbara Walters and shit like that.
Yeah, but you're going to have to be very careful with your selection. Yeah,
oh, if for you sure. But, I mean, you can't go on any of, you know, the Hot 100. None of the actual credible music sources,
because
you will become a laughing stock.
Yeah, and they will make fun of you to your face, but they'll do it in such a way that she's not going to get it at first. And that's the thing that scares me, is that this girl's going to end up in a interview situation thinking she's going in and being protected and things are going to be okay. They're going to ask her about her song. They're going to ask her about her inspiration and what she, you know, why she wants to be famous. But instead, she's going to get there. They're going to ask her a couple of softballs, and then out of nowhere, they're going to start making fun of her, and you'll be able to see the look on her face.
Right.
As it slowly dawns on her, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm being made fun of. Oh my God, I need to run and hide.
Right.
And it's at a horrible time in human development for her. It could cause actual damage to this girl. The kind of damage that's done to people like Britney Spears, that's done to people like
Christina Aguilera, Lindsay Lohan, anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it, it's happened.
Yeah. And it certainly causes specific effects in them. You can look at them and see the damage that's been done. I mean, look at Christina Aguilera. She looks 60.
Yeah, she looks horrible.
She's completely lost any humanity. Like, she's just... Yeah, she looks
Let's Google her. I mean, just based on... I mean, just pictures you saw a while ago, like, I just don't know.
But she looks like an alcoholic.
Yeah, definitely.
It looks like alcohol is what's killing her. You know, she's got that puffy appearance that comes with
It's just, like, all puff. It's not, like, a little puff here, a little puff there. It's, like, noticeable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and did you see her hair when... What was it that was just on that was...
The Super Bowl.
That was it. Yeah, I can't remember this stuff.
What was that big thing that everybody in the world watched and I slept through? What was that called?
Well, they throw the ball around the field, you know, shit like that.
Yeah, you know, it's a big thing. I hear in some places.
But I mean, did you see like her hair?
I
her
did.
Her makeup was all over the place. It was just...
Yeah. I don't think that's her hair, for one. I don't think she has actual hair. And I am going to go out on a limb and say she's bald. She's got, you know, very scraggly, almost nothing hair, and she's just wearing wigs.
Yeah.
You know, ugly Cher wigs.
And, like, you know, that's sad because, you know, when they had that big, like, that big boom of, like, you know, what was it, like, early 2000s? You know, you had the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, and, you know, Britney Spears. You just had them rolling out left and right.
Mandy Moore, must mention my future wife, Mandy Moore.
Yes, Mandy Moore. She was one of...
And, she has the talent, for sure.
Oh, for sure. And she's just destroying it.
Yeah, it's I don't know, she's losing it. And that's essentially what we've become, is sort of Circus Maximus.
Right.
Like Rome, where we're just watching the most depraved parts of our society and getting enjoyment of it, like Hoarders, all those shows about hoarders.
Right.
These are people with a mental disorder.
Right. And you're making a spectacle out of their lives. Like, that's not okay.
Right. Just so you can go, oh my God, that's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Let's watch obsessive compulsive television.
Exactly.
Where we can point at and laugh. You know, and to a certain extent, you could say, well, what about a movie like As Good As It Gets, which is a fantastic movie that does deal with some aspects of obsessive compulsive disorder. A single movie where people are pretending to have a disorder that brings light to the disorder and also brings a humanity to it is a little bit different than turning the cameras on a real person with a real problem and showing them, you know, showing them for our entertainment, and almost ridicule, because you know that people are looking at them going, hey, my life isn't as bad as that. These people are, you know, sick and disgusting.
Right. But it's also the fact that people like to watch shows like this because it makes them feel better. You know, oh, well, whatever it is I do isn't as bad as that. So it's
right.
Okay. You found a way to justify something that might not equal the same thing, but it's still bad in your own mind.
Right. And people want to feel better about themselves. There's this thing called locus of control. And I, you know, I don't want to get into, you know, into technical crap here, but as when it comes down to, you know, sort of esteem and worth, you can internalize that and make it your own and say, I have value because I am this person. I like this about me. I feel good when I do this. I, you know, so on and so forth. Or you can be one of those people that externalizes it, which is to say, I am not a bad person because Allie likes me.
Yeah.
Right? I know I have worth because Allie says I do. I know I have worth because I'm not as bad as that guy I'm watching on TV right now.
Right?
You get this external sense of self. And it's not at all a healthy thing.
Oh, not healthy at all.
You get this idea that as long as there are people worse off than me, I can feel good about things. And there's also this, you know, there's this anthropological idea that a society can be judged on the way in which they entertain themselves. And you can do a direct correlation when a society is breaking down by the fact that they start to dehumanize their entertainment, which is to say they get entertainment by watching people at their most base level.
Right.
Which is why I brought up Circus Maximus, which was like, okay, we're going to put this guy in this cage with this disgusting creature here, and it's going to chomp off this guy's face. And we're going to charge, you know, two Roman whatevers for people to watch. And everybody's going to have enjoyment and not worry about the fact that we're losing control over our populace and losing lands left and right.
Right.
To other dynasties. And we're going to do all of this and we'll pit people against each other, you know, MMA style,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, MMA style is about two steps away from gladiator battles, right? They don't battle to the death yet, but that's coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, they're working on it all. I'm fairly positive. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that I think there are two kinds of people in this world. Mm-hmm. I think there are, like, personally for me, I can't stand reality television. I don't watch it.
Yeah.
I don't have an interest in it. I don't like people. I don't like seeing people either harm themselves or get made fun of. Because you know what? I was that kid in elementary school who was getting made fun of. That was me.
Yeah.
You know, so why would I want to see, you know, people purposely inflict pain on others? So I just don't watch it. But I think there are two kinds of people. People that are, I guess, low enough to the point where that's all they care about to make themselves feel better.
Right.
And people that actually care about what's going on in this world.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have plenty of people who will look point blank at you and say, oh, reality TV is the best thing around. Well, at that point, you're trying to overcompensate for something that you don't have.
I usually think so. I would generally agree with you. There are certain things. It depends on your definition of reality TV. Like, theoretically, you can call Mythbusters reality TV, but I'm cutting anybody who watches Mythbusters gets a free pass on the reality TV thing because...
Well, of course, because that's actually science and discovery. You know, but I'm talking the reality TV of, you know, 16 and pregnant, The Bachelor, you know, Big Brother, you know, Survivor. I mean, who the hell wants to go sit on a freaking island and fend for your life for 3 months? That's not fun.
Not really, no.
Okay, but, you know, or Wipeout's a good one, Biggest Loser. I mean, there's a ton of them that are basically geared towards that. And that's, that makes me sick.
Yeah, well, and part of it is watching people suffer. The other thing is to watch people. You put people in the most ridiculous situations and watch them lose their humanity.
Right.
Right? You watch them break
you're
away.
Taking away your own dignity.
I don't care about the fame so much. But these people on reality TV and all of that stuff, they're just in it for that fame.
Yeah, I mean, they're craving fame. You know, like, you know, like you said, you and I in the podcast, the financial stability is a perk. But, you know, I've always wanted to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be to one person, to 10 people, or just to my mother.
Right.
You know, I've always wanted somebody to respect my opinion and how I see things. Granted, I'm not going to force it on you or whatever the case may be. But the point is it's nice to be heard. But you're not going to see me taking my clothes off or running down some desert island away from something that's coming after me because I have to win this whatever the case may be so I don't get voted off the goddamn island. You're never going to see me doing that because I have more dignity and self-worth.
Okay, so we haven't talked about stage two, which is the video podcast, obviously, because that's the part where you're going to be taking off your shirt. So,
well...
I'm kidding.
You know, I could make sacrifices.
Right. Yeah, depending on how big the checks are.
Right, exactly. I mean, if you're going to give me over, you know, say $5,000, I'll consider it.
Okay, I'll make sure I check that, check the $5,000 box.
Right.
And
at what point can you be bought?
Right.
Because let's face it, nowadays, everybody can be bought.
Yeah, people who say I'd never do this or I'll never do that.
You're so full of shit.
Yeah, because they're not faced with the actual choice.
Exactly.
They're never faced. It's similar to Rebecca, you know, Rebecca Black's choice. She was faced with the choice of you can release this song, which is not very good, and face the consequences. It will, whether it's good or not, we can guarantee you a few million dollars because that's what they're going to make off of that damn thing.
Yep.
They're going to make a few million dollars off of this thing, and everything's going to be groovy. That's what you're going to have to face. Will you do it? And they chose to do it. And I think there's a lot of us out there that would choose the same thing. You know, for $2 million, I'll make an ass of myself on YouTube.
No problem. Sure.
You know,
just tell me when to be there and I'll do it.
I've made an ass of myself on my blog numerous times for free.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of things I'll do on YouTube if I'm guaranteed some financial stability. And that's one of the problems with reality TV is that you're promising people some fame, you're promising people some cash, and they're jumping at the chance no matter how bad it makes them look. You know, and it's interesting to see it slowly dawn on some of them, like The Situation when he did that roast of
Donald Trump. Yep.
And he just bombed. It was horrible.
Yep.
And it wasn't that the jokes were bad. It was that he could not deliver them.
Right. And it was like, you know, I'm already over you. You know, I'm over your blow-dried hair and your, you know, 13-pack of whatever you've got going on there on your stomach. And your overly tanned skin. People want something different.
And it slowly dawns on them that all they have is this sort of fake existence where they're caricatures of themselves.
Right.
And that's what this Rebecca Black is, too, is she's a caricature of a 13-year-old who wants to be a singer.
Right.
And that's what they've made her into. And I feel sort of – I know we started off with this – you know, she's the most horrible thing that's ever happened to the world. But I'm starting to feel a little bit bad for her because she's 13. She didn't make these choices.
Yep.
She obviously told her parents, I want to be famous and I want to be a singer.
And then they obviously made it happen.
Yeah, and her parents made it happen. But she's 13. Her brain isn't fully developed yet. She doesn't have the cognitive ability to make those choices.
Right.
You know, so I mean,
you can also take that as far as saying she's being exploited.
A little bit, I would say, yeah. I think in this specific case, I would go with the exploitation, which is not necessarily the same for, say, like some of the young actresses like Dakota Fanning.
Right.
Like, I know she's not young anymore, but Anna Paquin.
Yep.
Those young actresses.
Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. I think that. You know, they don't necessarily make the choice to be in that situation. They may have – I don't know about the Olsen twins because I haven't seen any of their 75,000 movies. I have seen Dakota Fanning movies.
Actually has talent.
Right, yeah, she has talent. I think Anna Paquin does, although I believe her only talent is showing her boobs.
Right.
Because I do believe that's what True Blood is about, is her boobs. And more vampires and werewolves and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's your, you know, you've got all these, you know, you've got True Blood and you have, which I can probably compare to an everyday or every week version of Underworld.
Okay.
You can equate the Vampire Diaries and the WB to an oversexed version of Twilight.
Okay.
You know, that's just how it is.
Right.
I mean, you're taking something that now, okay, I know you aren't a fan of Twilight.
I'll be 100% honest. I don't mind Twilight. This is something that's going to get me lambasted by the males. Twilight, although I have problems with the romance a little bit, they're well done and they're good for what they are. And I think they're somewhat mildly inventive and creative. The thousands of shows that are now on the air because of it.
Right.
I hate even more.
Yep.
Because of the whole creativity spiral that starts with one good idea.
Right. And then you've lost and disconnect at that point.
Right. Because you've got this one good creative idea that's right. Come out and everybody's watching it and a bunch of uncreative executives are watching it going, why can't we get a piece of the vampire pie?
You know, why didn't we think of that? We can capitalize on that.
Right. Let's hire some people who are desperate for work and get them to churn out a second-rate version of this that we've corporatized, that right. We've, you know, because, and I feel bad for some of the writers because I've been listening to a lot of interviews with some good writers who've had to write some crap that executives have forced them into, and you hear them go, you know, the pitch is Twilight, but with more sex, right? And you're going, but that's not creative and interesting, and I don't want to do that. Yeah, if you want a paycheck, you best.
Right.
And they do it because it allows them to do the creative project that they want to do next, right?
Right.
You do that. It's sort of the Matt Damon school from Jay and Silent Bob Go Back, or Strike Back, is that idea of you do the safe picture, then you do the art picture, mm-hmm. then you do the safe picture, then you do the art picture. Once you do the corporate schlocky crap that they make you do, then you get a chance to do whatever it is that you want.
Right.
And, you know, there are few people that can get around that. And those that can, more power to them. But the fact is that there's that creativity spiral that says, we see this one good idea and we can get away with making 7 carbon copies of it
mm-hmm.
before it becomes too expensive and we don't make any money.
Right.
And so now you've inundated people with all these carbon copies of it, and lost in the shuffle is creativity. There's none out there. It's like all the CSIs. I liked the original CSI in the first couple of seasons.
Yeah, I did too. We watched that together. We had that Thursday night thing.
Yeah, and it was a good show. But then all of a sudden, you know, CSI New York, CSI Miami,
right.
CSI, you know, Poughkeepsie, you know, all of that crap comes out. You've got medical dramas. You've got legal dramas, and then you've got your procedurals.
Yep.
Right? Procedurals are your Law and Orders, your CSIs, your Bones, Numbers, you know, that kind of thing. The legal dramas are the ones that are solely courtroom based and romance based, like your Boston Legals and
then you have your half hour sitcoms.
Right.
And that are just fillers, basically.
Right. And most of those conform to the same almost Archie Bunker-like pattern, which is to say you've got a slob.
Yep.
And then you've got, you know, now, I mean, I don't think anyone would call Edith attractive, but you've got a slob, and then you've got an attractive wife, and then you've got, you know, annoying kids that have some kind of, you know, usually there's a kid in there who's ridiculously intelligent.
Yep.
Right, who's you know, book, smarter.
The nerd, the techie, whatever.
Right, in incredibly smart, and then you've got a slut or a male slut,
or a goth of some sort.
There's usually a goth or a moody.
Yep.
Yeah, there's three kids. There's the nerd, the slut, and the moody, gothy, whatever it is.
Emo, you know? Artsy, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you've got those three kids in there somewhere, and I bet you we haven't really specifically described a specific show, but I guarantee you there's a bunch of people listening right now going, oh, that's this show, and I can tell you right now there's 10 different people thinking of 10 different shows right now.
Yep.
You know, because that does describe a whole bunch of shows, and the earliest that one I can think of is probably Family Ties.
Okay.
But, you know, Growing Pains, exactly the same thing.
Family Matters.
Yeah, Family Matters had the same dynamics. Like, the only change up there was that the one of the kids wasn't actually, you know, family.
Right.
Although, you know, was close enough as, you know, became family. Right. Eventually. You know, so it all sort of and it all comes down to that sort of same thing. And Roseanne, same with Roseanne, yep, right?
You've Roseanne. Got mm-hmm. the nanny.
Yeah, I have not. I don't know that one. I am assuming Charles in Charge as well. I can't remember it too well, but I remember there being a slutty girl.
Or what, Happy Days?
I think, yeah, I don't think there was a slut on Happy Days.
Well, I mean, there probably was as much of a slut as you can get in the 1950s.
70s, yes.
Well, 70s, 50s, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
more than that. So they all kind of run together.
Right. full generational gap there, but okay.
That's okay. No big deal.
Yeah. And so you've got that. I don't know. There's just so many that follow that same pattern, just as the CSI, NCIS stuff goes. And each one tries to find their own voice and something that makes them slightly different. But in the end, you find yourself just watching, you know, the same thing over and over again. And you have to root for HBO to come out with a show that's just ridiculously different.
Right.
And Showtime does the same thing. One of my favorite shows that, you know, one of the TV shows that I actually watch is Dexter.
Dexter's good, yes.
Yeah, because it's so different and so good. As I understand it, I haven't checked any of them out. As I understand it, FX is really doing fantastic work as well, almost HBO-like work.
Yep. Well, you've got shows like Justified, Sons of Anarchy. You've got a lot of great shows coming out of FX.
Mad Men.
Yep. That's a good one, too.
One of the things that I've heard, one of the reasons why Showtime, FX, and HBO are having such great shows is that the executives are taking a hands-off approach to these shows, which is to say they're giving these creative people money and saying, bring us back something that's good that we can make money off of.
Right.
And go, you know, go do it. Right. We've seen what you can do on these other things. Here's some money. Go make us proud, make us money. And that's what's happening. And that's why they're having so much success with their shows, right? HBO essentially takes a hands-off approach. They, as long as you can, as long as you deliver, they'll let you go. You know, I've heard a lot of stories recently about people trying to be creative on network television. And, you know, they're sitting in a room with 15 people in suits whose sole job is to tell you, we think you should do it this way instead. You know, telling the writers, the creative people, yeah, okay, that's a good idea, but instead, why don't we make the main character a dolphin? Yeah, that's it, a dolphin. this is a great show idea, except... Now, hear me out on this. In space.
Oh, okay.
Or, okay, so we like this idea about a legal thriller. Now, hear me out. What about if they're babies? Talking babies. Yeah, we need more talking babies. People liked those talking baby movies.
Right.
We need to add more talking babies in. And that's how you end up with a stupid show that nobody wants to watch after two episodes. If you let creative people be creative, then you'll get a lot more creativity. If you allow a corporate mentality to creativity, you get Rebecca Black Friday.
Yep.
Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed. When I bash your head open, all we wanna do is eat your brains. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. Open up the door. We'll all come inside and eat your brains.
Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.